Folks, I hope that you come to Believer's Chapel with high expectations. I really do. I hope you come with high expectations. You could come in here and be able to worship God and really know that intimacy and that closeness with God through worship. And then you come to a place to have such high expectations. God, your word is alive. It is powerful. Father, we walk out of this place different from when we came in. We're not a check-the-box kind of church. You just come in, you do your thing, you leave. We come in, have fellowship, communion with one another, with God Almighty himself in worship. And then we come into a place to hear the absolute word of God, which is the truth that we walk out of this place changed and transformed week after week. Morning after morning, when you come to his presence, even in your home or in your family, husbands or wives, teenagers, kids, wherever you are, single person, that you would honor God day after day in his word, recognizing that this is truth. But we come this morning saying, God, I want to be different when I leave this place. Man, show me something today. Speak to my heart today. Give me an urgency today. Man, put a fire under me today. And this is really, honestly, I think, where Jesus is going in these parables this morning. We have short time, we're going to cover four parables. Good luck. Come on. Here we go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for just a sense of your presence in this place. You're amazing. You are truly amazing. Jesus, you're our all in all. You're our everything. What it would be to really lay everything down for you, what that would be like as you've done that for us. Father, we come to you this morning in your word and ask that you would speak to us today, please. God, speak to us today. Open our hearts and our minds and our ears to hear, see, and respond to you. Folks, this morning, ask God, God, speak to me today. God, speak to me now. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a time where Jesus speaks four parables to his disciples. He huddles up his disciples. This is a private time with him and his disciples. He just got done speaking to the large crowds. And he brings in, closes the door, goes in the house. Him and his disciples are in this house. This is serious because he's like, listen, these are the ones. The disciples are the ones who rearranged the world, folks. The disciples are the ones who changed everything when Jesus ascended into heaven. Man, they now took the gospel, that which they knew. And they are the ones who rearranged the world. The disciples did that. And we should be forever grateful that they were bold and they understood the gospel in the sense that they did, and they were unashamed of the truth as they continued to press the word of God forward. And man, when Jesus knows all this, he understands that it is this crazy bunch that have been chosen to win the world. And he has a huddle with this crazy bunch and says, listen, you need to hear this. I want you to see this. Matthew 13, verse 51. This is after he gives them the four parables. This is how serious this is. I want you to get it first. Have you understood these things? This is where he said, I'm going somewhere this morning and I want you to understand where Jesus ended was, don't miss this. You've got to understand this, Jesus. Did you get this? He asks them that question. Did you get this? And they responded, yes. That's how serious this is. He huddles up with his team, man, his short team, the chosen few. Listen, these are the ones. You've got to understand this. Don't miss these parables. This is how serious this is. Now look at this. He talks about the tares and the wheat. I'm going to give you four. This is kind of, I'm going to go like the Oreo cookie principle, the best parts in the middle, right? We're going to go through this and you have to understand. Listen, come on, you know, you break them in half and you lick the middle of the Oreo. Unless you're a droid. I don't know, but this is what most humans do if you're an Oreo man. Come on. And I'm going to show you this, that there's four parables, two on the outside that are very similar, two on the inside that are very similar, and the best parts in the middle. So let's get past the crunchy part. Come on, look at this. Verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the tares in the field. Now listen, he talked about this to the large crowd, and the disciples come in private and said, hey, give us the real deal on that, man. Explain this to us. And Jesus said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Jesus. The field is the world. As for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. Folks, that's the believers. And the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. Look, he's defining something very clearly here to his disciples. There's two teams. There's two sides. That's it. And look what he says. I want you to get this. There's the wheat, there's tares. And the thing about the tares is they look very similar to wheat. If you look at both and you think, oh, they're both wheat. But when they bear fruit, one attacks the other and takes away from the wheat. This is how he is describing the church, folks. This is how he is describing, and he's telling us that he is going to return. He tells us that in these two outside parables. He said, I am going to return, and when I come back, this is what it's going to be like, and there's only two teams. There's only two sides. The disciples had to grasp this picture. They had to understand this to really go out and spread the gospel. They had to be very clear that you're in or you're out, man. You're on God's team or you're on the devil's team. You're one of his children or you're a child of the devil. And Christ makes this abundantly clear. This is how powerful, this is why he asks him, did you understand this? Did you get it? Because I think today as the church, as he has left you and I to be the ambassadors, you and I who are so desperate to win people to Christ, desperate for this region and this area, for those who are lost, hurting, and broken, for those who don't yet know Christ, for those who have come to a place to maybe be confused or lost because they hear so many lies and so much deception. Well, what is it to clear it all out? Man, Jesus makes it simple for us, the church, just as he did to the disciples. There's only two sides. I want you to see this, verse 41. The Son of Man, or verse 40 says this, just as the tares are gathered and burned with fire, so shall it be. Please highlight that. So shall it be at the end of the age. Gang, please hear this. This is what Jesus is saying is going to come. There will be, this is truth, folks. There will be a day when angels show. And there will be a serious splitting of people. He says in Matthew 25, there will be a serious right and left side, and you're on one or the other. One will be sheep and one will be goats. There is no middle. There's no other options. The enemy has brought in such deception and such lies for people, even in churches. Oh, there's many ways. Maybe it's not just Jesus. Maybe we were wrong. Maybe there's many other options. Would God really only make it one way? Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. Again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many? Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And Jesus, to his disciples, for a sense of evangelism, is saying, listen, you got to know something, man. There's only two teams. As, look at this, what he says. So it shall be at the end of the age. And then verse 41, this is what's going to take place. Son of Man will send forth angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all the stumbling blocks, that's the tares, and those who commit lawlessness, the ones who have rejected Jesus, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, listen, he's saying, pay attention, pay attention. Don't miss this. This is what Jesus is saying. And then look at this again. Let's go to the fourth parable here, which is verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. I mean, this is close quarters with his disciples. He's making a serious, loud point. To make it so simple to these guys, he tells a very similar parable, another story. The greatest storyteller of all is telling a great story, a great powerful life lessons to his disciples. And again, he says in verse 47, kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea, gathering a fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up in the beach and sat down and gathered the good fish in the containers. But the bad ones they threw away. Look at verse 49. Verse 49. So it will be at the end of the age. Gang, that's the same words as in verse 40. So it will be at the end of the age. Verse 49. So it will be at the end of the age. He's saying this is going to happen, he says. So when you know the one who is declared to be truth, Christ, one who cannot lie, one who makes very clear this is going to happen, and this is the way it's going to happen. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked among the righteous. How many? There's only two types. There's only two types. The wicked and the righteous. And we'll throw them in the... He'll take the wicked out of the righteous and will throw the wicked into the furnace of fire. In that place, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood these things? Now listen, that's the outside, folks. That's the part that honestly should bring just an urgency for us who believe. That should bring an urgency for us, the church, to go out into the highways and byways, to do everything we can to bring people to truth, to understand Jesus. Those who have been so lied to, those who have been so deceived, those who've thought, well, maybe there's many other ways, or maybe I can be good enough, or maybe I go to church enough, or maybe I tithe enough, or maybe I can do, maybe there's other, it's Jesus and it's only Jesus. And he says, listen, there will be a day, as it will be at the end of the age. This is going to happen. There will be a great separation. There will be sheep and there will be goat. And listen, there will be a time when there is no return, folks. So to this part of these two parables, does this seriously come to a place to burn an urgency in us for the lost? Knowing that I believe that Jesus could come anytime. He could come in another 100 years, 1,000 years. He could come tomorrow. He could come today. He could come any moment, folks. I believe that. So where's the urgency in us to understand the serious, deep parables that he's teaching, the ones who changed the world? Listen, when you read the book of Acts, you see a seriousness in the disciples. You see a seriousness in the disciples to win and teach and preach and walking away of boldness, unashamed, understanding the gospel, not afraid of anyone or anything to go out because they understood there's a day that's coming. And when that day comes, there's going to be a big separation between those who are wicked and those who are righteous. And there isn't another group. What about us in this day, folks? Do we have that urgency? Do we have that urgency for our family? For people we love, people we work with, our neighbors? To understand, man, Jesus meant what he said here, folks. Come on, let's look at the middle part of this. Verse 44, and then he tells another parable. He says this. So he goes in. The first parable, he talks about the wheat and the tares, and there's a great separation. But then he goes right into this. It's amazing. Verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it goes and sells all he has and buys that field. Verse 45, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Isn't it amazing that right in the middle of kind of some depth of a parable of, listen, there's those who are children of God and there's those who are children of the devil. There are those who are going to go to heaven and eternity forever, and there are those who are going to be bound for damnation and hell for an eternity. That's the deal. There is going to be a split. But right in the middle of all that, he talks about, look at this. He talks about the value of salvation. He talks about it as one that is such a treasure that is hidden in a field, that this one who found this treasure went and sold everything. He gave up everything just to obtain this treasure. How valuable salvation is, folks. Then he talks about this merchant. Now listen, when he explaining this to the disciples, it's a merchant that does buy and sell jewelry. This is what he does when it comes to jewels, when it comes to pearls, he knows the best of the best, and he goes out and he buys and he sells and he trades. That's what merchants do. So he's defining one who understood fine jewels, fine pearls, and he came upon that one pearl that was worth his whole collection, folks. Could you imagine a lifetime of buying and trading and collecting and building and having the depth of knowledge and understanding of what that great pearl just might be? And then he finds it and he goes and he sells. Look at all of it. He trades in everything that he's collected in his life. And Jesus says, that's salvation. That's salvation. Folks, can I ask you a serious question? Where is salvation on your value scale? Do we come to a place to let self rise up and say, well, Jesus, what have you done for me lately? Or do we come to a place to say, man, I'm willing to give everything, my time, my talents, my gifts. I'm willing to go out and recognize, man, there's lost people all around. If they don't come to the knowledge of Christ, they're damned for an eternity. So you can understand maybe a little bit when you see in Acts that these disciples were red hot, man. They were going and they were going and they were going because Jesus had these moments such as this, these huddles with his disciples. Say, listen, you got to get this. You got to understand this. You can't miss this. This is going to happen, and we've got to win as many people as we possibly can win. And when they understand salvation, there is such value in salvation, folks. First thing about salvation is eternal life. Listen, the Bible over and over says life is short. Life is like a breath. Life is a shadow. It's a vapor. So we have a serious question, though. When we really believe that life is short, it is a shadow, it is a vapor, why are we as Christians surprised in death? When you understand, please hear this, when you understand the value of salvation, it tells us that we're never to fear death. Paul even had a sense, I don't want to say this in a wrong way, Paul had a sense that he even welcomed it. Listen, he was in prison, he got beat, he got whipped, he had a rough life, and I don't want to say he wanted to die, because he says, listen, to stay with you is great gain, but to stay with you is great benefit, but to die is great gain. Absent from the body is to be home with the Lord. I mean, he went through serious, serious persecution, and he looked at death, and he looked at Jesus, and said, huh, but I'm still stuck here with you. But he understood something I think we all need to get, folks. Look at John. I want you to see this. John 11. Powerful, powerful verses. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me. Look at this, what he says. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Gang, there's never a fear in death. What is part of the value of something? Why is it something that we would give everything up to have? Because in death, everyone, unless Jesus returns, death, that last breath will come for everyone and for the church, for the believer. He who believes in me, look at what happens, will live. Even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me, what, will never die. What a benefit, folks. How amazing is that? That we never have to fear death. Listen, even, again, the greatest scripture of all, John 3:16, for God loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. If you believe in him, you will not perish. You will not see death, but you'll have eternal or everlasting life. Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. It's a benefit. It is one of those things of the highest value in salvation is eternal life, everlasting life in the very presence of God in Christ Jesus. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more. Amazing with that. Isn't that worth everything, folks, to know that even in death I will live? Powerful. How valuable is salvation to you? What about that amazing relationship that we have with God? What about that sense of being adopted? What about that sense of that intimacy? What about that sense of understanding, man, he is my rock, he is my shelter, he is my refuge? What about that sense that I can wait on him and I can trust in him, and man, I will rise up in my faith knowing that God knows every inch of my life? Where is that relationship, knowing that when I draw near to him, he is going to again draw near to me, and we can walk in this? Again, that only comes through fellowship through Jesus Christ, through salvation. How valuable is that relationship? How valuable is that intimacy with you? Seriously, serious question. How much time have you spent with God this past week? You see, that which you value most, you will take care of. Serious, come on, hear this. Are you taking care of that relationship, folks? Do you understand that adoption? Do you understand that relationship? Do you understand, man, I am called to come to him. I'm called to get into his word. I'm called to worship and come to his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. And that's just not Sunday morning, folks. That's day in and day out. Honestly, come on, how much time have you put value into that relationship where you have come to a place to enhance that relationship? Listen, man, walk worthy of him. Pleasing him in all respects. Listen, we walk in a place to please him in everything that we do. Is that you? Everything I think, everything I say, everything I do, I want to please you. I want to bear fruit in every good work. This is Colossians 1. And I want to increase in my knowledge. Will you come to a place, say, God, I want to know you on a deeper level. I want to increase in my knowledge. Gang, what are you doing? If you value that relationship, how much time are you building that relationship? Husbands and wives, same thought. You can relate to this as a husband and wife. you honestly come to a place to have put your marriage in a place of value, as God says, so that the husbands would value the wife in such a place. It's obvious to see how a man values his wife because he works on that relationship. What would be different in the one who created the relationship between us and him? If we, please hear this, if we understood that, man, I would give anything. I would buy that field. I'd give up all my fine. I would give up all of my collection, everything, because that one possession, that salvation, is worth everything to me. Is it that valuable for you? Where are you in this? Jesus asked the question, do you understand this? Because he's telling his disciples, you got to get this, man. You can't miss it. When I leave, man, you're all I got. You're what's left to win the world. And since that, folks, it hasn't changed. We're all that's left. The Christians, the believers, to win everybody that we can win in the short time that we have. Because he gives us an extremely clear picture of what will happen. Folks, when you understand this, come on, real quick, we got to turn to Mark 8. I want to just hit this briefly, because when you understand something of such great value is costly. And we talked, what an amazing time for communion this morning, because our salvation cost Jesus his life and cost God his son. And please hear me. Salvation is free through Christ. But when you understand the value of something, you understand the depth of it. We don't have to, you can't pay enough tithe, enough money. You can't be good enough. You can't put enough time in the church. There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. So yes, in that sense, please hear this. In that sense, it's an amazing gift. It's a free gift of salvation. Powerful. But when you understand its value and you understand its worth and you understand that relationship with Jesus, gang, when you talk about that relationship with Jesus, when you talk about enhancing that relationship, getting to know him, wanting to live for him, wanting to surrender for him, then, please hear this, then there will be a cost. When you understand that. I want you to see this. Come on. Mark 8. We're going to cover this in just 3 minutes. So I want you to hear this. Verse 31. And he began to teach them, the Son of Man will suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests and scribes, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He gives an amazing picture to his disciples that this is what's going to happen. And as he was stating a matter plainly, again, it can't get any more clear. This is what Jesus says. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Way to go, Peter. I mean, what are you thinking? Like, could you imagine Jesus says this? Here they had this picture of Christ coming in to rule and to reign here and now. No sense of doubt. He's not going to be put on a cross. And what are you talking about? And could you imagine this sense? Peter, who does things like this, he steps out and he pulls Jesus aside. Could you imagine Peter beginning to rebuke Jesus? I could imagine John in the background going, what an idiot. What are you doing? Like, Peter, shut up. What are you doing? Stop. What are you thinking? Think before you speak. Have you heard that, Peter? Think. You're talking about Jesus. John's going, what are you doing, Peter? Shut up. And this is what Jesus does. But turning around and seeing his disciples, isn't that amazing? As Peter's rebuking him, Jesus turns to look at the disciples. He turns to Peter. This is powerful. And he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Like John didn't, I'm sure John's going, oh, I'll remember that. When Peter starts bragging, dude, he called you Satan. I mean, come on, let's get real here. I didn't call me Satan, he called you Satan. Don't be bragging too much there, Peter. Come on, you know they jagged each other. That's what men do. But he looked at this, please hear this. And he summoned, he got all the crowd and the disciples together, and he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Here's the cost. See, they went and sold everything to possess the treasure. It cost them something because he understood its value. The merchant sold all the pearls, man. He sold his whole collection to possess this one pearl. When you think about that, he now had no more room for resources. He sold everything to possess one thing that he would never get rid of. Figure that out. Cost him something, folks. But if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. That means, the word deny here, it means that he disowns himself. He rejects and refutes himself. He pushes self aside. And Jesus says, that's a must. Take up his cross, that means death. Die to himself and follow me. How many in this room right now can say it's worth it? It's worth it. If I'm going to go after Christ, it's worth it to come to a place to disown myself, to die to self and pick up my cross and be a follower of Jesus at all costs. Please hear this. Who can come to a place to say that's worth it? Because that salvation is so valuable. It's so valuable. Come on, let's bow our heads, please. Are you here this morning? Can you say that? Do you understand the value of salvation? Do you recognize that it is a gift? And it's through Jesus. But can you come to a place and say, it's worth it for me to deny myself? It's worth it for me to even disown myself and come to a place to completely surrender to him. It's worth it. It's worth it. What would happen if that one who bought the field held back and just didn't have enough for the field because he didn't just think it was worth it? What about that one that didn't really sell all he had and all of his jewels to possess this one pearl? He said, well, it's nice, but I'm not giving up for it. But man, Jesus in his teaching says it's worth it. It's worth it to go all in. It's that valuable. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Salvation is a free gift, folks. Please know that. But do you see it as worth it to come to a place when Jesus says you must, if you are going to follow me, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. You got to be all in. You got to be all in. And you do that. Honestly, please hear this. You do that when you know it's worth it. You do that when you know precious Jesus. Man, he died for me. It's worth it. It's worth everything. My salvation is worth everything to me. How could I not follow him? How could I not give him everything? How could my time not be his time? How could my resources not be his resources? How could my family not belong? How could that be? I owe him everything. He's that much to me. I'm all in because I know the value of salvation. I get it. And Jesus asked, do you understand these things? Folks, I'm going to ask you this morning with a raise of hands. You're in this place this morning and say, man, I get it. Salvation is everything. There will be a day that Jesus returns and he is coming, folks. There'll be a day that he comes. And the angels will separate those who are in and those who are out. And in that, I know the value of my salvation, that I'm all in. I'm willing to deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow him. I'm all in. Because salvation is worth everything. It's worth everything to me. That when you know the depth of that relationship, you simply can say, I owe you everything. All to him I owe. Jesus, we owe you everything. Man, if you're here this morning and you could just come to a place when Jesus asked his disciples, do you understand these things? They all answered yes. And if you understand this morning, I want you to put your hand in the air, please. Say, man, I get it. I get it. This is serious. Put your hand in the air. Hold it up high. Unashamed. I get it. I know Jesus is coming and there's a serious separation. And we will do everything that we can to win as many people with truth as we can. And I get the surrender, man. I get, Jesus, I get my salvation. Man, it's everything to me. It's worth everything. I get it. I'm all in. All to you I owe. Jesus, I surrender. No holding back. No holding back. Jesus, I surrender. I'm all in. It's worth it. It's that valuable to me. I will hold nothing back. Jesus, thank you. We will be a church that would win the lost, God. We will be a church that would draw those in that will have an ear to hear from you. Please, please, God, let us be that group that gets it. At all costs, God, let us get it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give him praise this morning, please? Amen. Come on. Yes.